Our scripture reading this morning comes from Paul's letter to the Ephesians. We read from the second chapter, and we read from the first verse through to verse 10. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up in Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. May the Lord bless to us our reading from his holy word. Amen. Church anniversary is a time when we look back, but we also look forward with confidence of the future. And Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus, and he's giving them sound advice. He reminded them that they were once people of the world, people who had sinned against God, but now they were new people in him, the sacrifice of Jesus. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. This word then comes, but. God has done something about it. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in our transgressions. This epistle vibrates with new life and hope that Paul proclaims. From his own experience of conversion, from being Saul of Tarsus to being that which God now had ordained to be, a new creation in Christ. Something had happened. Something dynamic. Jesus had appeared to him. It was a post-resurrection experience. And he grounded his apostleship on the fact that he had seen the risen, resurrected Christ. That Christ had called him and equipped him in the power of the Holy Spirit to proclaim this gospel. And his life was dedicated to proclaiming the gospel of grace until the day when in Rome in 49 AD he suffered martyrdom for his faith. He writes to the church, a community of God's people at Ephesus. This is more a sort of a circular letter to the churches of the day. It's not got a lot of greetings. It comes straight to the point of what God has done in Christ. But God, from death to life. And Paul doesn't soften the truth. He begins with that stark declaration that once we were lost in our sins, our transgressions and our rebelliousness against God. And the thing is, so much that has to do with our own experience has to do with our own rebelliousness against God. And perhaps we've all been through times of doubt and uncertainty in our lives before we came to him, living in the dark and evil world of which we're a part today. When you put your news bulletins on, it's never good, is it? And when we look at the world situation as it is at the moment, we begin to see that we are under the judgment of God. The lack of love, compassion, tolerance. Look at a world that is politically at war with, not in this country alone, but in other countries as well. It's as if we do not seek that which God offers us in the midst of the dark ages in which we live, the light of his presence, his leading, his guidance. Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind, and love your neighbour as you love yourself. If we did just that, then what a different world this would be. The reality is that for the Christian, God has brought us from death to life. Isn't that wonderful? We were dead in our sins, but God has brought us to life in Christ. The incarnation speaks of a God who reaches out, who desires that all would come to him and that no one would be lost. And the death of Jesus on the cross, where we are reconciled to him forever by faith in him, gives us a total understanding that through his death, through his suffering, through the darkness, through the evil that was bestowed upon him by those who nailed him to the cross, that God raised his son on the third day. And we are children of the resurrection this morning. Those who have come from death to life. Dear friends, I would appeal to you, if you do not know this love, respond to this love. The darkness of the world will never overcome. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We are children of the living Christ. And as we live in him and seek to do his will, we are his church, his people. Remember, Paul was speaking to the church here. The church that has always, through the ages, when it has been true to the gospel, proclaimed that there is only one means of salvation, one means from death to life, that we can look at this world now and know that we are pilgrims in a barren land, but yet we know the eternal promises of a God whom we will be with in eternity, for Jesus has promised us that by faith and faith in him alone. I watch a little bit of YouTube, and I always find historical sort of short films quite interesting, and last night I just came across the story of Martin Luther, the great Protestant reformer of his day. It's an amazing story. If you go on, just put Martin Luther in the search engine. A monk who was so beset with the teachings of the church of the day, who tried in every way he could to please God. He even chastised himself. He put marks on his body because he felt a sense that he deserved to be condemned, and if that would bring him closer. He even crawled up a tower on his knees, and his knees were broken, and the blood flowed in order for him to try to please God. And one day he read the book of Romans, and he began to realize that all that he would do, it meant nothing. All he had to do was to receive the gift of God's grace. By grace you are saved, by faith. God's gift to you and I. We never earn it. Even if we try our best, we never earn it, but we can receive it. So Paul is saying, you were dead once. You'll be brought to life. It's a gift of God, it is not of man. That's what Paul is saying here. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, he's not holding anything back. He has given us of his only begotten Son that we might receive. Martin Luther and the saints through the ages came to a realization of that. It was a transforming power of the church, the birth of Protestantism, the means that we don't need any mediator between God and man. The man Christ Jesus is sufficient for all. And in him and him alone is our joy and peace. So dear friends, come from death to life, from darkness to the light of salvation, because you have been redeemed by the grace of God. And it's a gift of God to you. It's a gracious gift. Just receive it. Be glad of it. Sinners once, now saints by the grace of God, baptized into the church of Christ, ransomed, healed, restored and forgiven. Who like me, his praise should sing? We've been made rich. We might be poor in the things of the world, but we are rich in the things of God. And Paul goes on to say that God has made us alive with Christ. You see, what he's saying here, salvation is not merely a change of status, it is a change of nature. We are joined to Christ's life, his resurrection, his victory over death and the grave. Your life is gone, the new life begins. Made alive. What can we say about that? Well, it's a message to the church. A message to us as individuals. We are new creations in Christ. We have been bought by a great gift of God's grace. Therefore, we have been saved to do good works. We've been saved to be part of the community of Christ's people. For it is by grace you are saved through faith, and not from yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship. We are God's workmanship. Made alive, brought from death to life. What does that mean? Well, we are living creatures in Christ. We are new creations in Christ. And because of that, our lives must reflect that. We've been made alive. Made alive because before we were dead in our transgressions, the reality is life is within us. Life is within us, and life must be in the life of the church. We look at church history, and we look at the lives of people like Martin Luther, and we can see the way that God has worked through the ages. But God, on the day of Pentecost, sent the Holy Spirit. And what happened on that day? They went out and they preached the gospel. Yeah. So much so that people of Jerusalem thought they were drunk. Yeah. And of course, some said it was 9 o'clock in the morning. No one is drunk at 9 o'clock in the morning. Well, come to Station Road in Llanelli, and that's wrong. The reality, the people who came thought these people were drunk because they were full of joy. Full of exuberance. They were proclaiming the gospel. frightened souls before in fear of the Jews. Peter and John up to the Sanhedrin challenging them. The Sanhedrin said, you can't preach the name of Jesus. And they said, we cannot stop speaking of what we have seen and heard. We can't stop it. Because God has made us alive. He has given us a message to proclaim. And that is the call of the church in our day. We are not a religious organization. We are not a club. We are the people of God, made alive in the power of the Holy Spirit, to share the good news of Jesus. And we have different ways and different gifts of doing that. Of proclaiming it in our daily lives. Of sharing the good news of Christ. And as a church and as a community, making the preaching of the gospel central to all that we do. And live according to this new life that is ours in Christ. Because the past has gone and the church is always alive in the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, you and I, most of us here come from a tradition. I was brought up in a Baptist church. I've never known anything different. And when I was a child and a teenager, well, I'm not telling you how many years ago, there was plenty of life in the churches. I remember in Seaside when Bethel and Siloa and St. John's came out about 7:30 on a Sunday night. There were more people there than there were Piccadilly Circus. And there were buses taking people to all the different parts of town. Quiet now. Days have gone. We have monuments of chapel buildings around here which are decaying. Testimony to a past age. Now, don't think I'm criticizing for a moment. For the people of their day, they were empowered in the power of the Holy Spirit. And they were enabled to preach the gospel and to formulate the very nature of the church around that. And that included these buildings. Now, those days are not with us anymore. We are grateful for a building like this. And thank God that we are able to preserve it and keep it for future generations. That's wonderful. It's good to do. But this isn't a church. These are walls. These are bricks and mortar. The church is the people of God, you and me, who proclaim the love of Christ in our daily living, who seek to honour him in the way we relate to one another, in the way we share with one another. We have been made alive. We are not a corpse anymore. We have been brought to new life in Christ. And because of that, we are new creations in him. The old life has gone. I would encourage us to be shining lights for Christ wherever we're in the world. Yeah. What's with a little chorus? This is a light of mine. I'm going to let it shine. You can do that in the community when you're out there tomorrow, sharing with friends. You can do that by being faithful to the Church of Christ and learning and gaining and growing in faith and knowledge of him, that we might be more equipped to share the good news of the gospel with others. Across in the Selwyn Samuel Centre this week, the Nations is on. And it's lovely to see Korean young people from Korea come mainly to celebrate and rejoice. I was taking the dog for a walk yesterday morning and I met a lot of them along the coastal path. They were thrilled to see the beauty of the Millennium Coastal Path. They really were. My English and their Korean didn't quite manage to interpret, but I knew they were Christians, you know. I knew they were Christians. Do you know why? Because they were singing as they were walking. And people were saying, who are these people? They were singing hymns, Korean songs. They were going on to people, and they won the hearts of many. They were displaying that which had happened in their life. I know they are exuberant. I know they praise God in a different way to us. But they, like us, are the people of God, sharing the good news of Jesus. Do you remember when they were here for their First Nations, and they filled the chapel here? We were in the schoolroom, and they were jumping up and down. I had to come up and tell them to stop, otherwise the ceiling would have collapsed. It was wonderful. And I thought to myself, wow, God is at work. God is at work in the world today. And he will bring his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Dear friends, what a privilege to be part of the church. We are new creations in Christ. Salvation is God's work, finally, and not ours. It is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not of ourselves. Paul repeats the phrase a few times. Why repeat it? Because people might forget that. He wants to say it again and again. Paul is clear. It is a gift of God. It is not by works. The gospel leaves no place for pride. We boast in Christ and him alone. And that's the message. Dear friends, our faith and the faith of those who have gone before us in this church in generations gone by was grounded in the incredible love of God. The incredible love of God in Jesus Christ that thrilled them, enabled them to know that indeed they were called in their generation to do their will. Mrs. Jennings on the wall there. Why is the plaque of Mrs. Jennings there? She wasn't that important. But they put a plaque there. Mrs. Jennings used to serve this community and serve the poor of the parish. The records are back there. She stormed into a deacon's meeting once and challenged all the men there. But they weren't doing enough for the gospel. They had to escort her out because she was on fire for the Lord. And when she passed away at a relatively young age, those men thought, what a woman. She was doing what they should have been doing. She was going into the community. She was helping the lost and the lonely and the hungry and the needy. They acknowledged that by that plaque there. And every plaque here represents those who have served this church. I'm looking where I can go. I'm only joking. I don't want a plaque in the wall, please. Oh, no, don't get me wrong. The reality is, it doesn't matter. These are the saints of God who have met here. People like Mrs. Jennings who have made a difference in the world. People who went in their community to share the love of Jesus. Those who knew they were saved by grace. They were sinners, yet they had become saints. The blood that was shed on Calvary covered all their iniquity, and there was joy. There was power in the blood of the Lamb, and they rejoiced in the sacrifice of grace. And we rejoice in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in this 168th anniversary. It is by grace we are saved. It is nothing of us. It is everything of Him, the Lord Jesus Christ, who came in the fullness of time, who died upon the cross for our sins, and enabled us to enter into that wonderful relationship with God. We are not fearful anymore. We are the children of God. One day we will be with Him forever, and our sins will be forgotten, and our sins will not be counted against us. For there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. It is by grace you have been saved. And by faith we enter in. And that's why here we find it. We come like Paul in humility, in gratitude, but more than anything in confidence that we are the children of God. We come in gratitude because grace is a gift, in confidence because God finishes what He has started and given us the wondrous grace and the peace of God. And it all has been fulfilled in that day on the cross and that third morning when God raised His Son from the dead. And we are walking in the light of the resurrection. That's what Paul knew. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. There is power, there is wonder-working power, dear friends, in the cross of Calvary and the good news of the resurrection that is the foundation of our faith. And trusting and believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, we too shall inherit all the promises of God. On this 168th anniversary, let's be grateful. None of us knows what the future holds. But we know we are confident in Him as Paul was. And we know we can go to each new tomorrow as the body of Christ, looking to Jesus and Jesus only. He is risen from the dead and He is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Wonderful. Good news to the glory of God the Father. Amen.